Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. We're really lucky now because I'm going to bring to you a great conversation shared with the head of communications for Watford Football Club, friend of the show, Richard Walker. He kicked things off by actually asking me how I was doing. Yeah, doing really well, Richard. Great to have you on the line as always. It's a challenging time. I know it is for us all. And again, as last time we spoke, I think really it does put sport into its proper context, but an awful lot for us to go through. Just before we kind of move on to where we're at now, circling back, how challenging has this been to get a handle on where players are at with their own personal fitness? Obviously not up until this last week able to kind of come to the club. What challenges has that posed for Pearson and team?
I'm not sure that's the biggest challenge, the physical side of it. They're all professional athletes. They understand the importance of keeping fit during time away and during programs where they've had to train on their own. I think it's more the camaraderie aspect and the mindset of players not being able to do what they're so used to doing, what they do habitually, what they're paid to do, what they trained most of their careers to do. So that's, for me, would be the bigger challenge in these days than physical fitness, which might have been a question, you know, say 15, 20 years ago when players used to knock off completely during the summer. But this is an entirely new challenge, and I think it's more mind than it is matter.
Tell you what, really good point there, but I must say, having been to the training facilities at Watford, it is a really fascinating and brilliant kind of team culture that's instilled there. As you know yourself incredibly well, they gather around, play some pool, bit of banter. I guess you're dead right. That must be something that you simply can't replicate virtually, can you?
No, you can't, no. And it's quite important to some because, obviously, you know, you'll get players whose home life is fairly solitary in terms of them being over here perhaps with families back home in other countries or them just being single, not having a family. And that camaraderie is actually really important. Nigel Pearson talks about man management and people management and making sure everyone's okay in terms of those the feelings that players have when they're, you know, training in a group environment and how that affects how they feel about themselves. So It is a big factor in it, actually, feeling like you're part of something rather than feeling like you're on one end of a video call and somebody else is on another.
And we are back, but obviously some people making decisions on that regard. We'll touch on that just quickly because it's affected so many people, this virus, COVID-19. But it's also seemed to have had really a quite heavy effect on the club at Watford there. Mariappa obviously is well known. I think two other players this week, not themselves contracted, but family members have. Can we get just a little bit of an update on the health and well-being of all associated with Watford?
Well, everyone's fine from a playing. If you're talking about the football side of the club, everyone's fine. Adi didn't even know he had it. And the two members of staff, they were asymptomatic as well. They were, to their eyes, fit and well. So one of those members of staff had been working with two players, so they had to isolate for 7 days. So those players are now back, available to be back training. Adrian's had a subsequent test, and if that comes back negative, he can rejoin later this week. Our testing was, our second round of testing was took place over the weekend, and our third round of testing was today, Tuesday, and so that's where we're at. So we're in good form, we're in good spirits. There's not really many injuries to speak of, other than Gerard Delafeu, the longer term rehab from his ACL operation. So all's well on that front. Obviously, it's a different story among the supporter base and those friends next door, our NHS neighbours, but we'll touch on that later, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. Again, just to kind of tease that, just raising the glass for the wonderful work that you guys do community-wise in that regard. Just a quick one on Club Talisman and Captain Troy Deeney. Understandable, I think, given his family context, to making a decision at the moment not to rejoin the training environment. I was reading that it was actually backed by Pearson. Overall, I guess, would you rather, as a club, that the captain and Talisman is there as we begin this process, perhaps, to a June return?
Yeah, but you have to respect each individual. And one of those individuals who feels a little uncomfortable with returning to the environment at the moment is the captain. So you have to respect that. Unfortunately, that puts a position where it looks as if the leader of the players, you know, isn't giving a lead. But in fact, he's doing right, he feels, by his family. And so you need to respect that. There are, he wouldn't be the only one who's got those views at the moment and isn't training. But we're in a position now where, as we talk this week, there are more players training now than opted not to train last week. So gradually, I think word has spread from other players who've been in and said, you know what, this is pretty safe environment. We feel safe. We're being tested regularly. And, you know, they would advocate joining in with that phase one of training right now.
Excellent stuff. And I'm sure the fullness of time, he will be back. It's sounding to me like it's looking like they're going for a June, maybe 20th return. Last time we actually had a chat when it was Verum Sports 92.6 FM, Richard, I thought you made some wonderful points, quite frankly, about the almost unfeasibility of playing the season to a conclusion. Again, Masters is cited as saying he's as confident as can be, but he hasn't ruled out the possibility of it being curtailed. As it stands at this moment in time, do you think that they will just run on with this and it will play to the conclusion this very season?
I do. I think the debate's gone on so long now, and that so much positivity has been pushed into the public domain about be able to create safe environments for Premier League football to take place. I think we're too far down this road now for it not to happen. I think we're too far along for it not to happen now. And I was one of those, self-confessed, and to a degree still am, who would have accepted that the season could have been null and voided and a new start date sometime in the future set. But it seems it's not going to pan out that way. So it's our job as employees of the club to focus on the idea that we're going to be playing competitive football pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I was quite keen to discuss, because there's so much up in the air, although obviously it does look like we are going to get action back on penciled for June. There is still mooted things to do with no relegation. For me, if it is going to return, I don't quite understand the wisdom of that. Where would you be in that regard and your kind of inside awareness of how likely a no relegation scenario might be?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty strong from both Premier League and EFL that if you are going to play a competition to protect the integrity of the rules as they stand, that there is going to be promotion and relegation. And I guess that's going to filter down through the EFL. And it looks as if someone's going to get relegated from League Two eventually. So that's going to pull someone up from the National League. So although their seasons have been said to be finished, I think there's going to be some way of promoting and relegating throughout the divisions. I don't think, if things resume, I think there will be promotion and relegation.
I think you're most probably right, but again, there's just so many question marks. One other thing that I find rather irksome, I just can't see the wisdom in this. I understand the need to play behind closed doors, obviously, as Bundesliga is doing, but I can't fathom the logic or the reasoning behind playing at a neutral venue. I know certain Watford players themselves have been quite vehement in their stance against that. What would you understand by that? And do you think that that is a situation which could occur?
Well, it's still on the table, but I think it's less likely. I think probably the Bundesliga has helped shape the feeling that games can be staged at particular clubs without huge numbers of fans gathering outside. That was the concern mooted by sort of senior police officers and a feeling from within the league themselves and maybe some safety representatives that it would be wise if games weren't staged. But really, we've trusted the British public sufficiently to stay indoors and follow all the guidance. So I think we ought to be able to put our trust in our own club supporters not to turn up at the stadium.
Yeah, I think you're dead right there. I mean, Cabaselli, as I say, was very much quite vehement in his stance. Again, felt it rather insulting to the intelligence, really, of the sporting fan who's now, I think, just grown accustomed to the lockdown world. One other thing that we were chatting about just briefly last time we just had a quick phone call was that maybe the silver lining, if anything at all for me, when it does return, is the strong movement to having the games viewable, free to view. I respect, of course, that there's massive broadcasting contracts, so it's doubtful that that would be terrestrial. But I think that would be wonderful, again, to make football accessible to, because we assume everybody's got Sky, BT, and it's simply not the case. How do you think that would work, and what's your take on potentially the ability to engage with Premier League football free?
I think that they'll probably make the token gesture of putting a handful of games free to air, but I suspect it will probably be via the subscriber YouTube channels than actually putting them on terrestrial television. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've paid so much for the rights to show it, I think I have a lot of sympathy with just saying, oh, well, we'll just give away that. So we'll just give away that right in a trice. So if the BBC do get a game to show live, then I think it will be due to the benevolence of the pay TV subscription service, because clearly their business model is based on subscribers who are subscribing to watch no live sport whatsoever at the moment, apart from a serving suggestion from Germany thus far. So I would think most we'll get is maybe a token one or two games. And I tend to have great sympathy towards the broadcast companies that invested so much to be able to show the league.
Yeah, well, goodness me, I totally have. It has revolutionised the whole world of football and all kinds of sport, because, again, obviously the Premier League is the Premier League, but it filters down, and that's important too. So totally respect that. But I do also like, at least on a nominal level, the ability to have access to, in some form, free Premier League football. But we'll see how it evolves. I wanted to talk to you quickly about injuries. Again, one of the major great points, I thought, when you kind of were making the case for the curtailing of the season, was the fact that it is going to be so condensed, so compacted. And I was reading that this, according to Zone 7, a 25% increased injury risk when things are conducted in such an intense style. I know Nigel Pearson himself was advocating at least a six-week kind of preamble, pre-season fitness type situation. Is this going to be something that could well be a worry, given that it seems likely now we will be having this contracted season finish?
Yeah, there's a lot to do in so little time, isn't there? But it's been hard for us as a club to get to the bottom of what is what is this actual deadline that UEFA have set? When do these games actually have to finish by? My sense from the enthusiasm with which the Premier League would have a start in the sort of third or fourth week of June would sense to me that they're trying to get these games played by the end of July to give themselves time to, say, have a month off and come back at the end of August maybe and run a sort of a running a bridge transfer window then. There's not been an awful lot of information flow on that one so far.
As you say, it's another one of those to be decided ones, isn't there? So much in that category at the moment. Just before we move on and talk about the wonderful work that you guys do community-wise, and again, particularly the awesome stuff for the real key essential workers of the NHS. You mentioned himself, the man Delafoe, obviously longer-term injury prior to CV19. I know he's recovering well, I think, off crutches now. Just give us a bit of an insight into how his recovery's processing and likely possibility of being back on the pitch.
Well, he so February the 29th, Liverpool game was when he got injured. These anterior cruciate ligament injuries used to be best part of a year, and then they were 9 months, and now they seem as if they're more like 4 to 6 months, given the technologies involved in speeding up the rehabilitation process with the advent of modern science and newfangled methods. So, yeah, he's off crutches, which seems remarkable to my mind, talking as we are essentially 3 months after he sustained the injury. But he's been in Barcelona throughout. He had the operation there. He's got a place there. He's still there. He's still there doing his rehabilitation work. He's got a physio that's sort of, I think, lived in with him to avoid any issues with the lockdown. He's working really hard, but going from the point where you're off crutches to ready to play a professional football match, there's an awful long way to go between those 2 points, Tony.
Nothing but again,
I certainly ain't going to put a timeline on it, but he's making really good progress considering, you know, we're not even 3 months since his injury.
That's really pleasing to hear, Richard. Thank you for that. And I tell you what, goodness me, it does feel like a mini lifetime ago, that unbelievable day where Watford shook up the world, Mohamed Ali
style.
That's
because it is. It's 12 weeks ago. 12 weeks since we last played a football home match. So, and I'm not decrying that in any way, given what's gone on, but
absolutely,
it is a long time ago. That's why it's going to be really strange coming back and playing some games that belong to the same season. And that's why I said what I said when I spoke to you on March the, I think it was March the 14th, I'm sure it was.
I think you're dead right. And again, I still think, and I totally respect the fact that we must move on. And there's lots of positives, as you have expressed brilliantly tonight. But for me, I still think perhaps, or on balance, they could have made a decision and just said, this is such an unusual, unprecedented scenario. Let's curtail and let's come back, hopefully, in another time.
Tony, if there'd been any leeway from broadcast to revenues, they'd have done that. But let's have it right. I'm not going to tiptoe around the matter. This was all about money. Because in leagues where there is no broadcast revenue, really, to speak of, those leagues were pretty quickly curtailed. Scotland, Belgium, you name a league where TV income isn't a huge part of clubs' turnovers. This is about money, and this is about making sure that the Premier League and its member clubs' losses are mitigated as much as possible by trying to fulfil their obligations in whatever way it takes and however long it takes. That's what this is about, and we're just a small part of this chatting away about it.
Yeah, Richard, again, incredibly well expressed there. I always appreciate your candour. But now to end on a more positive tone, again, just remind us of some of the phenomenal community work that Watford have done, in particular, being such close proximity to the NHS there, and again, making so many of your wonderful facilities available. Just fill the gaps in between that.
Imagine how people would have felt if us as a professional Premier League football club, who you have to go into the hospital grounds to access some of the hospitality facilities. Imagine how people have felt if we wouldn't have helped, if we'd have said, no, we can't help. So I put that out there first as a caveat to what we have done. But I think a combination of club staff and a small army of volunteers, many of whom season ticket holders and supporters, but some of whom never had been to our stadium before, who just heard the clarion call to action about, could you help the NHS. We've served, by the end of this month, when we start to scale back at the NHS's request, because they want to get their site back to how it was operating before, we start to scale back what we've done. We'll have served over 40,000 free hot meals to staff. We've washed 1,000 sets of scrubs, surgical scrubs, every day in our laundry room next to the tunnel, driven them round, driven them back again. We're still going to retain some of the services. There's going to be some executive boxes that are still given over to counselling rooms, memorial rooms. One of the restaurant lounges is still going to be used as a relaxation room for staff to come over and chill out and just have a look over the pitch. We're still going to be using our sensory room and the lounge above it as maternity outpatient facilities. And I think NHS staff are going to take over from our kit team in washing the scrubs in the laundry for a quicker turnaround than using a contractor. So We're not completely getting back to the stadium just being about football. What we are scaling back a little bit on what we've been doing, but it's been a privilege to play a really small part in that, along with a number of our club staff. And as I say, anything up to 100 volunteers that have been on site almost continuously. Given that it's very much a 7 day a week operation, it's been humbling to receive some of the messages we've had from some of the workers next door from all over the world. The staff are drawn, and I think if I could pick out a moment over the last 10 weeks that's touched me the most is we were able to arrange a remembrance service in the stadium to mark the passing of 6 members of staff that had passed away since the start of the coronavirus outbreak. And we brought their names up on the LED strip, and we had some appropriate imagery on the big screen, and they gave some readings, the pastoral leads. And there was between 500 and 600 staff came over and sat spaced out in the stand, sort of 2 metres apart in the rookery stand, and took part in a really moving service that took place some weeks ago. And I think that really brought it home to me just how much those people next door to us have sacrificed for everybody in our community.
Poignant stuff there, Richard. And once again, as we started, it has put sport into its proper context in a global and a societal sense. Nevertheless, it's always positive to speak with yourself. I honestly admire the great, great work that you do generally, and of course, the club in the wider community. I want to thank you massively for spending a bit of time with me this evening, and send our best wishes to everybody involved at Watford Football Club. Many thanks again, Richard.
Certainly will. Thanks, Tony.